Welcome to the Motherhood Unfiltered podcast. We are a group of moms striving to bring balance to motherhood with lots of laughs and some tears along the way. We seek to walk alongside you in this journey as we learn and grow from one another. Hello, friends. It's Brianna. And today we're going to be talking about how the IUD affected one hopeful mom's pregnancy journey. So we have a guest today that I've actually known personally for 7 years. We met in Bible college. We toured the country together because that's natural, but we did not tour the country together. We toured the West Coast So, but we laughed together, cried together, and then over the years we grew a lot closer. So enough intros. Let's just get into it. Our guest today is Vanessa Abrego.
Yay. Hello.
So, Vanessa, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and talk about your journey to motherhood.
Yeah. So, I've been married for 3 years. We just celebrated our third year anniversary, April 7th. So it's been an awesome time. Married the love of my life. He's an amazing man of God, amazing man just in general. And yeah, so we started wanting to have kids last year around this time, around May. And so we started making plans for that. And one of the things that we had decided when we were getting married was that, you know, I was going to, what contraceptive was I going to use? And so we decided on the IUD. It stands for an intrauterine device. And so it goes into your cervix and it gives off progesterone, I think it is, only in your cervical area. And it's said to have a low dose that doesn't affect your whole body. So we were like, well, that's good. We didn't want a lot of hormones. We didn't want to do the pills, anything like that. So we went that route. And last year, May, we got it removed because we wanted to start having kids. And so all the research I did and all the research my husband did not prepare us for what we would encounter after they removed the IUD. So it just, I think within about 2 weeks from removing my contraceptive of choice, which was the IUD, I started experiencing massive symptoms. Like, I would say maybe almost a month into having it removed, I started losing my hair in just crazy clumps. Like, you know, women, we molt and we like lose hair during more seasons than others. I had never experienced something like this. It was abnormally amount. Like, I was like, babe, my hair's falling out. As you know, we have this freak out moments.
So, was this a side effect that doctors told you about?
So no, it was not a side effect that doctors told me about. It was only when I researched specific side effects, like when I started like putting two and two together and realizing that, oh my gosh, this happened because I took my IUD out. Because prior to this and prior to even having the IUD, I never experienced this. So it was only until I Googled and I searched on blogs, and I mean like tons, that I discovered that a lot of women have these side effects, one of them being major hair loss. Mine wasn't so severe that I had massive like balding, but I did find on a lot of bloggers and a lot of videos and a lot of pictures in sites that moms have hosted and published, some of them have had balding, like actual balding after removing their IUD. So it was pretty scary in the moment. I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to go bald? And then, you know, you just pray and you're like, Lord, either I drive myself crazy about this and go bald, or I just go bald. So I'd rather just not be crazy and just trust you, you know? So to condense it, I just had a lot of these symptoms. I had massive hair loss, major mood swings like I had never experienced before. I was very on edge, more than when I have my cycle or anything like that. So I put those two together, and then one day I was sitting on my couch and I felt this depression on me, like this just like hopelessness, not even of pregnancy, just in general. and I nailed it. I finally told myself, like, Vanessa, this is depression. Like, but your life is so wonderful. Your husband is wonderful. Your job is wonderful. There's nothing that you should be depressed about. And that is the moment that I realized, like, I need to look up these symptoms I'm having because this is not normal. And so that is when I looked up the symptoms and finally found peace. I prayed about it after I looked them up, found peace in the fact that this was not a normal process. It was a drastic process that was happening. And all the blogs I read, you know, said that when you take the IUD out, your body has had this consistent dose of this chemical, you know, hormone in your body. And when you take that out, it's like quitting cold turkey.
Right.
And your body goes into complete shock. And I thought that wouldn't happen because it was such a low dose and so many good reviews on it, you know, so many good stories. And it's just to say that everyone's body is different. And no matter what the facts are said medically or even personally, you really got to take major consideration and not just see the pros and be like, oh yeah, those are the pros. The cons will never affect me. Because, you know, you just don't know. And I have...
Yeah, well, because most of the time they don't, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you take this, oh yeah, you have a risk of kidney failure, you have a risk of this. And
we don't get it, right?
It doesn't happen. Yeah.
Right. But that's how, and that's exactly my attitude towards it was, you know what? That's not going to happen to me because, like you said, I take Tylenol, my liver doesn't shut down, you know?
Yeah.
I don't get kidney failure. So it'll be fine. Well, this is just a whole nother thing. I would honestly say of all the reviews that I've read, it is a 50-50 chance. And that's really what I want to share on here is that do not just take medicine's word for it when it comes to your reproductive system because it's so fragile already, you know?
Right.
I've seen so many moms on Instagram and teachers that I follow on Instagram because I'm a teacher that are struggling with infertility and IVF treatments and all these things that are healthy, that don't have other underlying causes or diseases, that are in good health and body, you know, like they say to lose weight, to better your pregnancy, stuff like that. You know, all these people, they're struggling for different reasons. We already have such a fragile reproductive system that if I would have known that this was a 50-50 shot, that it would wreck my body. Till this day, I'm still recovering from the symptoms and the effects of getting my IUD and getting it taken out. I would have never even put it into question. I wouldn't have even considered it. But that's kind of my journey thus far. Of course, we're hopeful. Still trying. God is in control. You know, we're not super stressed about it because that doesn't help. But for moms or for hopeful moms, like that in the future want to be a moms, I would just say, you know, it's obviously their choice. It's totally up to them. But when considering something that's going to go in your body, a foreign object, it's going to go in your body and produce chemicals for your body, definitely look on both sides of the coin. Yes, there's benefits. Yes, it's great. It reduces your cycle. You practically don't have a cycle when you're on it, when you have it in you. But when you take it out, that was another thing I experienced was I was on a cycle for 4 months straight in adult diapers. I thought I was going to die. One weekend, I told my husband, I feel like something's going to explode in my cervical area and I'm going to die. Like, and I am, I'm okay with pain. I have a pretty good threshold, but it was crucially, like, it was bad. It was really bad.
Right.
So,
and I know you haven't mentioned this yet, but you know, I know something that you told me and obviously, on the same topic, but part of this eventually led to some type of surgery, correct?
Yes. So twice, on two separate occasions, they did an invasive, what is that thing called when they put that thing on your belly? Ultrasound. They did an invasive ultrasound and a topical ultrasound. So outside and inside. And on both occasions, they saw a mass in my uterus. And they thought it might be like polyps or a cyst or something. But that was two separate times, two separate hospitals, two separate technicians that did those ultrasounds for me, and both the results came back the same. And so my OBGYN scheduled a procedure for me to get those removed. Well, when he went in to go remove them, they were gone. So it was really a miraculous work from the Lord.
Yes.
But at the time, you know, I'm laying there on the table. It was an excruciating procedure for them to even get in there. I'm awake the whole time. And there's a screen there. I see them in my area, you know, trying to find this mass. And to myself, I'm thinking, Lord, what do you mean there's nothing there? Like, how can they fix something if it's not there? That was my first thought, was like, no, there has to be something there so you can fix it. So you can get it fixed. Like, don't tell me there's nothing there. And then it hit me like, Vanessa, you're a dodo. Like, God already took care of it. You know, and I was like, right. Oh, okay. But that just goes to show that miracles, they're great, but sometimes they leave you more clueless than answered, you know? So I'm so thankful that they didn't have to remove anything. We still don't have answers as to what it was or why it was there and then gone. But we just say that God is in control and that he did that, you know?
Right. So, for sure.
So that was pretty amazing, scary and amazing all at the same time.
Right.
But that was the story of the surgery, was they went in to remove it and it was gone. So yeah, like, it has been a crazy journey.
Very crazy.
Yeah. And because of the, for people that are listening and that are like, okay, well, you know, it doesn't sound too bad. I think the most unsettling thing that me and my husband both have to keep checking in and going to God in prayer about is the fact that because your cycle is so inconsistent, it's so hard for those of you who have already gotten pregnant or are planning and researching, it's so hard to calculate your ovulation.
Right.
And it's so hard to count, you know, after you come off of a 40, no, more than 40, 40 plus, it was like 100 and something. After you come off of a cycle that was 100 and something days of straight bleeding, how do you calculate how long your cycles are, 20 days or 25 days or 40 days?
Right. And you could buy ovulation strips, but those are expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and to use one every day.
Yeah.
You know, it adds up for sure.
Oh, yeah. And we have done that, you know, kind of share our experiments and how to try and catch this. We've done the ovulation kits and we've peaked and then, you know, we've tried and then it comes back negative. And so it's just a big, besides financially and having to go to the doctor and buying these kits to try and help any way they can, it's a big emotional strain that you definitely have to keep checking into the Lord with and casting that burden on him for, because, you know, your month comes and it's around the time where you're supposed to start and you don't. And then you're like, is this it? You know, like, did we catch it? Did we do it? And then you take a test and it's like, it's not it. So my body is still irregular. I'm missing my cycle this month, but I'm not pregnant. So it's like it's like a high hope and then a drop down. And doing that for a year is pretty excruciating. But if you live and walk with the Lord, it just makes it better, because you know he's in control, and those promises are yes and amen. You know,
right?
And you just go back to those moments where you were in the altar and he spoke to you about your kids, and it's like, well, they're real, you know.
Right.
They're not with me now, but he spoke to me about them then. So they are real and they do exist in his plan and in his will and in his way. So that's really what keeps you holding on to that, that hope, you know, and to find a good community. Like on Instagram, there's tons, but they always tell you to think positive and which is great. Like, definitely. I shut down the negative. I can be a very negative, pessimistic person and what I would label a realist, which is probably not even a realist, but you know, I force myself to say no more, Vanessa. Like, you made the decision to get the IUD and now we're living with the repercussions, and that's okay, you know, but let's speak life. Let's talk about our kids. Let's plan for our kids. Let's imagine our kids. Why not? You know?
Right.
So
another question I have for you is, like you've already said, you have up and downs emotionally for a year. Like you said, you peak, you think this is it, you take a test, It comes out negative. 2 or 3 days later, you go to church, the grocery store, family reunion, whatever. And someone asks you, you know, when are kids coming? You know, when are you going to have kids? Like, your time's up. Like, how do you feel? How do you feel about that?
You know what? In the beginning, it was really hard for me because it was just like, they mean well, you know, like they don't know. Yeah. They don't mean it maliciously. And I'm a very sensitive person. So I had to take myself out of the moment as quick as I could when that would happen to me, remove all the baggage that I'm carrying from everything you just explained, peaking, testing, maybe the second or third time it's happened, and just love them for trying to love you and wanting to be involved in your life and knowing what's up with you, you know? And for me, I'm a super doubtful person, so I don't want to be like, oh, we're having struggles. But for me, that's like not a big thing to share. And for them, they're like, whoa, just wanted to know if you're having kids or not, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of found this happy medium where it was just like, you know, we're working on it. We're trying, and not to speak in a negative way for myself so that it wouldn't be a negative thing, you know? And I would just tell them, you know, we're working on it, you know, but it's got to be the Lord's timing. So we'll see what happens. And then, of course, I have those few people that are closer to my heart and that come to me and say, you know, how's it going? Or they've heard my story from another pastor's wife or a friend that's, you know, told them to keep us in prayer. And I think the one thing that maybe bothers me a little bit about that whole aspect is not that they ask, but when people who kind of know the situation or have some snippets of the situation come up to me and ask me, but with a somber demeanor. Like if we're already,
yeah,
we've already been overcome by this and we're down, you know?
Right.
That is kind of what bothers me a little bit because I'm not down. Like, are there sad moments where I cry and my husband hugs me? Yes, but those moments are so far and few in between than the ones of us imagining our kids and talking about our kids and laughing about our kids.
Right.
You know, those good moments outweigh the low moments by far. So when someone comes up to me at church after church and they're like, hey, how's it going? That kind of bothers me just a bit because it's like, no, let's like be happy about this. Like, it's not we don't want a defeated mindset. And that's what I would tell people that are struggling that have those people that come up to me. Don't have a defeated mindset. Don't give into that defeated mindset. And even if it bothers you a little bit, like maybe bring life to that person so they can see and you can be a testimony in their eyes. Like, whoa, they're going through this massive like family struggle. I mean, it's a pretty serious thing to not be able to be successful in getting pregnant as soon as you'd like.
Right.
And show that you're the testimony that God's given you of his partnership with you. Like, you know, and I've told people that are a little bit closer that come with me in a somber way, I've told them, like, you know what, we're doing good. We're really doing good. And, you know, it's going to happen. When, we don't know. How, we don't know. But it's going to happen. So it's okay, you know, just keep us in prayer.
Right.
But I never give in to that somber tone. And I think that's the only thing that would bother me in that realm is that when people come assuming that we're defeated about it, you know.
Right. Yeah. And right now, the Motherhood Unfiltered team, we're all in the process of recording. And, you know, once we all record, we're kind of just going to see how these episodes flow together. But you're actually the second person that I've interviewed who has suffered with some type of infertility in a way. I don't want to say that, you know, that's what you're suffering, but basically with having a hard time getting pregnant is what I'm trying to say. And I would not consider myself a sensitive person. And if the other infertility episode comes out before this one or whatever, you will hear me say over and over. And I did not have a hard time getting pregnant. And I still think it's actually inappropriate for people to ask others if they have kids on the way, because kind of like you said, it is something that's very personal. If you're not close to them, you know, you're not going to open that door and open up and say, you know, and some people, it's hard to share that because, like, I know for me, if that was something I was struggling with, I would have a hard time sharing that because I don't want people to come to me like, oh, how are you doing today? Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, so, maybe for listeners, just unless you're like really, 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 really close to them. And, you know, if someone wants to share, they're going to share. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I may ask people, do you and your husband want children? Do you want children? Oh, that's nice to know, you know, and I don't ever ask how.
I think I kind of put it, I kind of put it in the taboo box of like asking a woman if she's pregnant. Like, you just don't do that. Thank you. You know, like, you just don't go up to someone because they gained a little weight and be like, are you pregnant? You know, like, don't do that. Yeah. It's a no touch box. I would kind of put the whole, like, when are you guys going to have kids? Or it's about time. It's those comments too that are a little rough. It's like, it's about time now. When you guys try it? And it's like, little do you know, we've been trying and it's a struggle and it's an emotional roller coaster and we're over here crying and rejoicing and prophesying over our womb, you know, like, I would put that, like, the way that you come at it, maybe, or even coming at it in general, in the are you pregnant box that you don't ask people, you know?
Yes, and I totally agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
So even though it is a very hard thing to go through, what are some positive insights that you've gained through this experience?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I learned how to hold on to the promises of God for other things. But for this one in particularly, it's honestly been a wonderful blessing because I really know that when that day comes, it's not just going to be I don't want to say other people have superficial moments, but it's not just going to be a pure excitement moment. It's not just going to be oh my gosh, we're so excited. It's going to mean a lot. No, it's going to be God is faithful. God is like true in his word. It's going to be a spiritual moment of rejoicing. It's not just going to be an earthly thing that happens to our bodies and that we're supposed to be able to do, you know? So I'm definitely grateful for, I've accepted that that's going to be an awesome moment for me and my husband's spirituality and our relationship with God. So that's already one benefit that I've taken from this journey. And I'm not going to take the experience of being pregnant for granted, you know? I think this experience is going to sustain me through my pregnancy, highs and lows, and it's going to have me turning to God way more than I would have maybe if I hadn't gone through this, you know? I've definitely, it's character developed me, like in that whole question we just answered prior to this one, how to be a good person and a good communicator to people who mean well, you know? Just seeing perspective, like it just opens, it's opened my perspective to how other people try to care and giving the fruits of the spirit, choosing to engage in the fruits of the spirit in moments that are really intense, you know, and really personal and really hurtful and joyful at the same time, you know? So it's developed me as a person. It's developed me, I would even say, as a mother before even being a mother. Yeah. Like, I don't know, maybe one day my kid will be going crazy and I'll just remember that he or she is a blessing because we had a journey to get them, you know? Share a little bit more.
It's a different perspective.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, extend a little more grace and mercy to them, you know. And it's also shown, I've a big major benefit I've gotten from this is it has shown how much support I have in my church. Like, pastors and pastors' wives have supported me and loved me through it and have come through with like positive encouragement, you know, like Sister Haney has, you know, spoken life into me, and Sister Silliman, Sister Jasmine Johnson, even like in casual conversation, she's like, how are you guys doing? I'm like, you know, we're still trying to get there. And she'll be like, oh, it's going to be fine though. You're going to get pregnant. It's fine. You know? And those kind of comments are more uplifting than the somber, you know, how are you doing? You know, it's like, oh, it's not even a thing. You're going to be fine. It's going to happen. You know, that faith and that love, I've benefited from that so much. So it's brought me closer in community to a lot of women in my church. And I'm so thankful for that. So, yeah.
The last question I have for you is, what would you tell those who are experiencing struggles with becoming pregnant?
I would say, don't give up. Trust in God, you know, I'm obviously a religious person. I'm talking about God this whole time, but, really, like,
it's a Christian podcast. Oh, okay. It's okay.
Awesome. So
Yeah.
I would just say get into the prayer room. And I remember when I was praying for my husband years ago before he even came into my life. I mean, I was like high school, teenager, young adult. And I would write. I would just write about who he was, what he was doing, like not imaginatively, but like what I really felt that the husband that I would have want would be doing right now. You know, like he's reading his word. He's rejoicing in the Lord. And I've been doing that. God brought me back to that place of surrendering my imaginations and my thoughts to him. And so I've been doing that about my kids, you know, like they'll be anointed for your will, you know, not for something I want them to do, but really surrendering them in the spirit to the Lord. And that sounds crazy, but I just such an amazing prophetic and wonderful spirit comes into my prayer room when I do that. Like, I just feel the spirit of God, like taking over my children, and it's incredible. And they're not even here yet, you know, but
right.
It's a really fascinating thing that I've experienced. And I would encourage anyone who's having this struggle to turn to the Lord and just really surrender them to him. 'Cause they exist. Like, for me anyway, in my story, you know, God has given me promises about my children. So
right.
I lean back on those promises. And I give them to the Lord. I say, Lord, they exist. You know, there was a time where all I could think about was girl stuff and like girl clothes and girl nursery and all this stuff. And the Lord checked my spirit and he said, what if I give you a son? Like, all you've been meditating on is a daughter. What if I give you a son? And I was like, oh my gosh, you're so right. Like, yeah, let me imagine my son, you know? So it's just really right. Walking with the Lord through this experience, like, walk with the Lord, let him be in it with you, and you'll be so encouraged. Like, if you do it alone, which I've done it as well, you know, like just mm-hmm. neglected the Lord in this situation, thinking that my body can do what it does, it's just a harder walk. Like, he's the one that gave right. us the ability to create. He is the creator of all life. Like, we have to be plugged into the source to have that benefit, you know? So
right.
Yeah, infertility and struggles, they're difficult, but like anything else, it's nothing's too hard for the Lord. So just
right.
love on God, surrender it to God, communicate with your husband. Don't try to carry yes. the load by yourself. Like, my husband is my ultimate best friend. We talk about everything. And on the days where I just want to have a little meltdown and cry because I want to be a mom and I'm not, he's there and he encourages me and he loves me and he reminds me of the promises right. when I can't be reminded myself. So don't shut off or do the woman thing and make them guess or be moody and then not know right. why. Like, just talk to your husband. Like, it is so much better right. to just involve your husband. And it's kind of a shameful thing. You feel kind of like broken. You feel like your body's broken. You feel like something's not working and you can't produce. But when you take those feelings and bring them to the light, the enemy can't work in the darkness, you know, like right. if you bring light to those situations, the enemy can't make it dwell in your mind. The enemy can't, you know, quench your heart and make you have like physical sicknesses because you're stressed out about it. Like, bring it to the light, talk to someone about it, whether for sure your husband, you know, maybe a friend or your mom, if you have a mom or your aunt or your grandma, whoever you're close to, like, talk about it because you need to let it out. You need to discuss and you need to have someone to help you through it. So that's what I would say, you know?
Yeah. And one thing too, you have to remember your husband loves mm-hmm. you. And just as much as you're not able to have a child right now, he's also not able to have a child. So it's only fair to communicate yeah. because it's just as much his burden as it is the woman's burden. Not like whoever's fault it is. I don't mean it like that, right. but you know, sometimes it's the male, sometimes it's the female. It doesn't matter either way. We make vows at our wedding mm-hmm. and through sickness and in health. And this is one of them. But one thing that's so important too, when you're walking with God, God will always give you peace about your situation. And another Motherhood Unfiltered collaborator, she just felt peace for her and her husband when it was time to move on and pursue adoption. Now, that's not what I'm saying is for you, but for the listeners, what I'm saying is kind of echoing off of what you were talking about is when you are talking to God and God is talking to you, he will give you peace and tell you whatever road to walk down.
Oh, yeah.
For you, it's like he's given you this promise and he's told you, I'm going to stick to this promise. So you and Josh are believing that. But maybe for someone else, maybe they've been told you're completely infertile. I know somebody who her and her husband were infertile, but you know what? They were okay with that. They were like, you know what? We feel peace to go ahead and move on and we're going to adopt. But that all comes with talking to God and walking with God. Like he's not going to lead you astray. He's not going to lead you down a path that you can't handle, even though sometimes we feel like, yeah, right, God, do you really know how much I can handle? Because I'm kind of
Yeah, just walking with God, like with the whole adoption thing that you were just talking about. Like, absolutely. Like, if that's God's will, and if that would be God's will for us, like, I would be okay with it. Of course, you have to have this moment of surrender of what you thought it was going to be like. But that's the journey of finding that peace that you're talking about. So absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then one more thing that you had kind of touched on before, as far as helping those who are experiencing, you know, struggles with becoming pregnant, you had actually talked on this earlier, but I'm kind of going to reinsert it here. We live in a world full of technology. And although social media can be sometimes a negative thing, depending on what you're using it for or all of that, it can also be extremely helpful. So maybe you could talk about like some resources, like some pages that you follow, whether it be on Instagram, Facebook, like any books that you've read, any website, like any podcasts or anything that have like really helped you feel like, because you'd said feel like you have a community. Any of that you could share would be really great.
Yeah. So I'm a teacher. So I was shocked. I didn't know. Well, obviously people, you know, struggle with infertility or struggling getting pregnant. I'm sure all around the world, but I just wasn't aware of how much they really do. Like, I feel like for every person that I've seen post a we're pregnant post, I've also seen friends, not even like removed podcast people or removed accounts, but friends of mine who I went to Bible college with. So it's not even like, oh, I knew them in high school or, oh, right. I went to junior college with them. No, I'm in my class at my college. I know of right off the bat, three young women who got pregnant and had a miscarriage and then struggled or already were struggling to get pregnant. So it's like, it's very common. It's not something that's kind of affects the 1%, you know? So knowing that and having people even like post about that has been really, really encouraging to me. So I would say go on Instagram. That's what I use predominantly is Instagram. And I'm a teacher, so I follow just regular teacher accounts. That's where I was going with this point, is that I would follow them just for their classroom. And then all of a sudden I see them post, you know, IVF treatment number, whatever, from one teacher. And then another teacher that I follow would be posting like, you know, on this medication for fertility. And it was just like, oh my word, we're everywhere. We're everywhere. We're not by ourselves. Mm-hmm. So go on Instagram and maybe hashtag IVF treatment. And I haven't started IVF treatment or any kind of treatments like that. Just cause I don't feel that that's what we need right now. Not saying that we wouldn't, but just don't feel like we need that right now. But even just seeing their posts, you know, seeing how they give time to organize their medications and give time to, you know, talk about it. That in itself is just encouraging that there are women out there that are struggling with this same issue that are real people. You know, a social media, it's a big platform, and what it's used for, not used for, is, you know, can be talked about all day long, but if you can find good from it, do it, you know, go find it.
Right.
So I would say the best thing that I've done was just look up, you know, fertility stories or hashtag IVF or hashtag, you know, the journey to being pregnant. You know, I don't have any specific one, because my personal journey to overcome and to gain, hope is definitely through prayer and through my physical people that I have that I go to and talk to. But on Instagram has been my main source of just positive feedback and, you know, all the pictures of all of their pregnancy tests and their ovulations being negative and their syringes. It's like, we got this. We're out here and we're doing it and we're together. You know, like, this is
Right.
not just, I'm not the only one going through this. It's out there, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your story and your journey and just kind of being open and talking to us about something that could be really difficult to open up to. And thank all of you for listening and sitting in this space with us as we help inform hopeful moms about the IUD and what it could potentially do to our bodies. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. If you haven't already, we want to welcome you to connect with us on Instagram @_motherhoodunfiltered. Thanks again for joining us.